Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Live donkey fed to tigers in China zoo after dispute.
What?
Yes.
The incident sacrifice. Wait, they just sent this thing into the tigers?
The incident took place on Monday afternoon at Yangcheng City in Jiangsu province in front of stunned visitors.
Yes.
The
zoo. Yes.
The zoo said the shareholders had tossed the donkey to the tigers in a fit of rage and apologized to the public for the incident.
How about apologizing to the donkey?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. Plausibly live and actually live, because we are actually live. And we are somewhat under the gun today in the sense that we're recording this at 8 o'clock in the morning. It drops at 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time and 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific Time, when James Comey will have already testified for an hour or so, and I'm sure it'll go longer than that. So while we're going to have John Heilman on to talk about what is anticipated, it will already have happened, much of it, as you begin to hear this. So I apologize for that. We're chatter. We're open for breakfast at 8 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Even tomorrow, when we are not here, it's a dark day tomorrow. Not dark in the spiritual sense. We're just not going to do the show tomorrow. But we still will be open for breakfast at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, about a block, block and a half inside the line of the capital of the United States of America, where the world is focusing today. All the news shows are down here today in Washington, D.C. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. And we wish Michael tremendous luck later in the day, as he's got a golf tournament to play in. Hope he does well. You don't even have to do well. Hope you play well.
Not just a golf tournament.
Hope you feel you play well. The Maryland
Amateur. It's the Maryland Amateur.
The Maryland State Amateur. Nigel is back. Claude is dead. No, Nigel didn't kill Claude, did he? Nigel
or did he? He might want to if he listened to yesterday's show. Yeah. So it was pretty seamless.
Seamlessly produced.
Matt Weiler is here, who's the counselor for political military affairs in the Embassy of the United States of America in Baghdad, and brought us actual Baghdad sand in one of those glow things. But because it's sand,
globe.
It doesn't shake. It's like a snow globe, but it's with sand.
Right.
Sand so it's globe.
Less, like, less
really
effective.
Weird. It's less, yes. Yeah. It's less satisfying than we wanted it to be, but we're very happy to have it. And we're very happy he's safe. Evan Rerig from Northampton, Pennsylvania writes, congratulations on recently receiving your doctorate, and more importantly, the new chatter sign. After listening to you clamor about the bare walls of the studio, I thought I might be able to contribute with this functional piece of decor. A dry erase board will help you and the gang keep track of Nigel's frequency of gaffes, errors, and outright screw-ups. Although he didn't use that word. Thank you for the years of laughter and insight. I hope to make the pilgrimage to chatter for a live pod taping in the coming months. Cheers. Nigel, why don't you describe what it is and what you have written in already?
Yes, this is what you have in a lot of factories. You know, we've gone this many days.
Without someone killing themselves.
Yes, and this is, notice this studio has gone, and I put in 3.14 days without
Nigel.
That's pi.
Yes, pi.
That's pi. No, zero would be the correct answer.
That's right.
Without Nigel screwing up. And there's a picture of a man getting smacked in the face.
I wish it was a picture of a man pressing a button. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I actually like that.
All right, so there's a lot of things we can talk about. But what we're going to talk about to begin with is what appears to be the end of the NBA playoffs and the ascendance of what appears to be, if they win four in a row, a team that you could say is the greatest team in the history of basketball. Now, there's some caveats involved in that, because basketball is an evolving game, as all sports are, other than baseball. Football is an evolving game. Basketball is an evolving game in terms of rules, in terms of what you can and cannot do to play defense, to play offense. These things change as time goes on. So they're going to be diehards are going to say that even if Golden State goes faux, which has never been done, that, oh, well, you can't guard somebody like in the old days. Like when you go across the middle, you can't take out a knife and stick it in someone's
That's
eye.
Right.
You know, like Gus Johnson used to do, which it didn't, you know, the whole
good
notion.
Good old days, they call that.
This is a Wilbon argument.
Well, no one could argue it wasn't, if that happened, the greatest postseason.
No one can argue
ever.
That, but they That's will right. try to diminish it.
Right.
The Charles Barkleys of the world try to diminish Golden State as a team by calling it just a jump shooting team. You know, like that's all they're good at is jump shooting, which they also were the best defensive team in the entire NBA this year. And what Wilbon will do all the time is he will look to denigrate anyone whose name might be mentioned alongside Michael Jordan's, and he'll say, oh, if Cleveland gets swept, Michael Jordan never got swept. Well, he wouldn't even say that. If LeBron gets swept, is what he would say.
Here's what LeBron did last night.
I think
night.
That's a fair criticism. This Golden State team reminds me a lot of those Portland teams and Utah teams that Jordan
that
was
never won anything.
Kevin Duckworth.
That never won anything. LeBron went 37 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists last night.
LeBron, 39 points.
39.
So 39 I heard someone say, as I was driving in this morning, somebody said, yeah, I mean, LeBron just, you know, he didn't play a great game because he passed at the end.
What?
Come on,
Tony. In the triple-double.
In the 46 minutes LeBron played last night, they were plus 7, the Cavs. In the 2 minutes without him, they were minus 12, 3 fouls, 2 turnovers, 0 field goals.
Yeah, you can't take him out.
No.
I mean.
No, you can't because he's the best basketball player in the world. Kevin Durant's going to win MVP of the series. And Kevin Durant.
Deservedly.
And all of that. But LeBron is the best basketball player in the world. So I don't really want to hear, and Mike will do this later today. He'll say if LeBron gets swept, don't ever talk to me about Jordan. Okay, LeBron had last year the greatest three games in clutch situations in the history of the NBA playoffs. He had them. Now, you might say, if you were crazily perverse, that LeBron has now set himself up to win 4 in a row, to do what the Boston Red Sox did to the New York Yankees, which had never been done before, never been done in the NBA, to come back from 3-0, win the whole thing, and then you would carry him around on chairs for the rest of his life. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they can win 4 in a row. I don't think so, but it's still out there. It's mathematically out there. But let us talk about this for a second. I will not lie to you. I watched a half of this game, and I thought Cleveland was going to win and win big and said so, and Cleveland was down at the half. But there was a competitive game. You had every sense to believe this was a competitive game. And I always thought they would win. Golden State went 11-0 in the final 3:09. That's what we call a John Wall situation, where somebody gets nothing in the final amount of time where it matters. Kevin Durant hit the big shot. They can go fo-fo-fo-fo. After a 73-win season in which they got beat, and you have to emphasize this, they got beat by a superhuman effort by one person.
Aided by a suspension of a key player.
That's right.
Draymond Green. Yeah. They won the year before. They went 73 the next year. And this year, if they sweep the deal, if they do that, you need to tell me how somebody else is better than them. You need to tell me that because I am not going to automatically say that. So that what I would say is that if you ever had a discussion about the all-time great teams, and for me, they are such teams as the Magic Lakers and the Bird Celtics and the Knicks of, you know, 69, 70 and stuff like that, but you've got to say the Golden State Warriors. You've got to talk about the Golden State Warriors with all of the Jordan teams. And I don't think any of the Jordan teams were as good as the Magic teams or the Bird teams. That's just me personally. But in the same way that now, no matter what happens, if you talk about the greatest quarterback of all time, you can have your favorite. But Tom Brady is in the three. He's in the two,
right.
The three,
your argument
the one.
Isn't credible if he's not
right.
included.
So he's in there. So then Golden State would be in there. And by the way, for those people who are keeping score between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, that game's over. That game's over. Russell Westbrook can win every MVP from now until the end of time. He's not going to win a title.
Finals MVP.
He's not going to win a title with Oklahoma City as constructed now or ever, I don't think.
And certainly not with Golden State as constructed
now. And Kevin Durant is going to be able to say, and I don't know that he'll say this, but he'll be able to say, I won. I won this thing. Those of you who said it was a weak move by me, and we know people have said that, to join a great team, I've got the ring. Those of you who said this team is just a jump shooting team, we've got the ring, assuming that they actually do this. And if you look at, by the way, the points of the big three last night, if you look at, for example, 29 of 55 for the Warriors, great shooters, Irving and James were, if not better, absolutely as good. Irving, James, and Love had a bad night, but those three got 86. And the big three of Golden State got 87. So it's not them. It's not the top.
James and Irving alone combined for 77.
77.
39 and
so
38.
So what it is it is time that you say of Golden State, they're better.
Yeah.
They're a better team. Cleveland's a great team. Golden State is a better team. Please, I've monopolized the air.
Go ahead, Gary.
Okay. Cleveland's not going to win the series. That's self-evident at this point, but Golden State is appeared to very clearly be the better team. I was reserving judgment. I thought Cleveland would win yesterday for sure.
I did.
But even in the third quarter, even with 3 minutes left in the game.
Kyrie Irving had like 16 points in the third quarter.
With 3 minutes left in the game, when it looked like Cleveland would win the game, I think J.R. Smith hit a three. He had five threes, which I believe
He played great. He had no points.
So he hit a three to put them up six. It ended up being their last points of the game to make it 113-107 with about 3 minutes left and sort of shimmied his way down the court. And at that point, it appeared Cleveland would win the game. But I was thinking, you know, this is taking like absolute A-plus effort from everyone on Cleveland to eke out a win. As where Golden State is just sort of plowing through them. The end of this game was sort of stunning to me, and there was there were some errors and some things that happened that I thought might. I was actually surprised. I thought there might be some criticism of LeBron this morning. I'm glad to see that there isn't. But he had an opportunity to maybe. He did take it to the hoop and maybe try a layup. Instead, he kicked out, made completely the right pass to a wide open Korver in the corner.
He missed.
Who missed it?
But he's the best 3-point shooter.
That's why he was brought in.
That's right. Right. So you do that.
Right. But more importantly, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, Chris. I assume you stayed up and watched it. Irving, so the Cavs, I assume you saw this on SportsCenter, Tony, but Cavs get the ball after the Durant three. There's 40 seconds left. They're down one at that point. 40 seconds left. I forget who it was on the broadcast. Wisely says, you know, they should get a 2-for-1 here.
Yeah.
Irving basically goes one-on-one, dribbles out the clock, and then throws up a bad shot with about 25 seconds on the game clock.
Why?
Yeah. Well, it was game over at that point.
That's it. Then they fouled, and then that was it.
Yeah. Irving, to me, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, he was spectacular last night, and the way he can finish is unbelievable. But for me, he appears to get a little bit tunnel visioned when that happens. Mm-hmm. It was very one on one down the stretch. And I realize that's what the Cavs do. I mean, they don't seem to run anything. Just a lot of sort of opening up the floor for James or Irving. But I agree with you. I'm a big LeBron James fan, so I'm actually a little sad because I think for people who want to hate on him, it'll be very easy to look at his record in the finals and say, you can't say this guy's
him.
The greatest of
it's
all
not
time.
Just him.
But you look at the teams he's playing. I mean, usually the team with the best player wins the series. That's usually the case. And it's just, I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think LeBron James is the best player in
this
series.
This other team won a championship and then won 73 games
and lost
and then
seven.
Added one of the three and best players in basketball.
That was my observation is, you know, I think if you ask me, I saw most of the people I saw making predictions prior to the series said Warriors in six. I think that was the most common. Warriors in five, maybe.
I had seven. I just think
if you look at it, now obviously hindsight is 20/20, but if you look at it, you think, to Gary's point, last year it goes seven. They have a home game that they lose. It goes seven. If Draymond Green isn't suspended for six, it's probably...
Five.
It's a different series.
Absolutely.
And then you sub Harrison Barnes for Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that complicated. Gary's right about usually the team with the better player, particularly in basketball, where it's not like soccer... where you can't get that person the ball, right? You can get the good guy the ball, and they can play the whole time. They usually win. But the counter to that is if you have what I take to be the second best player in Durant, and you can debate Curry, but Curry can't be lower than about six. So when you have the second six, and then you got Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, who are certainly, in my opinion, in the top 20.
There's an unbelievable array of great players in this series.
And LeBron said last night. He said He didn't say they have too much firepower. He said I've never seen a team with this firepower. Because think about it, Klay Thompson, who was sort of mediocre in the first two games that they won, had 30. 11 for 18.
I think he had 16 in the first quarter.
6 for 11 from 3. You know, I mean...
He said this, LeBron said this, I believe, after game 2. He said about Durant joining Golden State. That really changes things.
I mean, understatement of the century.
LeBron
James
is a great enough player to appreciate great enough players.
That's right. They're just too good.
Like, they are.
Just,
I just don't want to hear them being... denigrated as the way Barkley does. That's a jump shooting team. We would have beaten them. No, you wouldn't have.
They would have gotten killed by Golden State. I mean, it's just a fact.
Magic's just, notion that they would have, and I think Magic's Lakers are better than this team, but this, we would have swept them. No, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have swept them.
And also the criticism, the thing that drives me insane is the criticism like of Durant from certain quarters. Like, oh, blah, blah. Who started the idea of a super team?
LeBron.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It's not as though
LeBron ever criticized him.
I don't think he did either.
I think LeBron knows what this is about.
It's ridiculous to say like that Kevin Durant's decision, it has an obvious, very recent historical precedent.
This is the triumph of Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Given the opportunity to get to the finals without Russell Westbrook, he has been everything you could have asked of one player.
He's been amazing.
Right, and he's going to win. If they win, he will win the finals MVP, and he will get this ring. And, you know, you can carp about him if you want, but isn't his contribution? He's not along for the ride. He's driving it.
Right, he's driving
the bus. So that's very important.
But I will say, I don't begrudge Durant. I don't hate on Durant for the decision, but it's one of the reasons I really wanted to see the Cavs win this. I just don't think it's good for sports in general. Like, I don't like it. I think it fosters this climate where guys go championship chasing.
They want to win.
LeBron,
I get that. I'm just saying as a fan.
But LeBron manufactured the Kevin Love thing.
He absolutely did.
I mean, he...
Yeah, I did all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not casting aspersions. I'm not judging. I'm just saying at the end of the day, for me, because I'm not a fan of a league
judging.
Where we're going to get the same two teams playing in the championship
years
in a row.
You're allowed to judge.
Yeah. Well, it's just... Yeah, well, and it is.
It's like when some guy comes up to me and says, what I said about you on radio, all that bad personal stuff, that wasn't personal.
I'm not even suggesting I wouldn't have made the same decision. I'm just saying it's just, I think it's bad for the game.
And by the way, it will...
Very good for Durant.
It will continue, you know, these models of the super team. You know, Chris Paul potentially to San Antonio. You will see, because that's the only way you can compete.
And this is because it's a 5-man game, not a 9-man game, not an 11-man game.
Right.
No, this is how you do it, and you have a commissioner who wants this done. The league wants this done. The league's ratings are going to be better for this final.
Did you see Adam Silver's interview? Did you stay up for Adam Silver's?
No.
It was very weird. It was like a minute. It was with Rachel. Oh, no, it was with
Doris?
Michelle Beadle.
Okay.
And it was very short. It was like a minute and a half long.
Well, maybe he had other things to do.
I guess.
Maybe
did an amazing piece on J.R. Smith.
Yeah, J.R. Smith's newborn. Talked about that.
It was wonderful.
So quick question. What are the odds, in your opinion, that Golden State is not the West representative the next, let's say, two seasons?
I think depending upon free agent movement, that's not necessarily
true. How much movement?
If Chris Paul goes to San Antonio.
Let's take next year.
If Chris Paul goes to San Antonio, that's a very competitive circumstance because – Kawhi Leonard is a great, great player, and LaMarcus Aldridge is a very good player.
Okay, and Cleveland in the East?
One would think, unless LeBron leaves.
Only injury.
I think only
injury can stop them.
What if LeBron goes to Golden State?
He could do that.
Sure,
let's get out of here. We're going to come back. We're going to shift gears 180 degrees, which is as far as you can go, because if you go any more than that, you sort of come back to the middle. And we're going to have John Heilman when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
In honor of all the sports that we've talked about, this is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. And you may have one last chance on the NBA season to go to SeatGeek and get a ticket in Cleveland. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, and they're fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater.
Or maybe to the James Comey.
Sure.
Maybe you get a seat.
Now it's available.
They should sell those.
They don't.
There were people in line at 3 o'clock in the morning. A lot of people.
Well, they thought they were going to U2.
Oh, I have a U2. I have a U2 update at some point.
Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You just download the SeatGeek app and you enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony, T-O-N-Y, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sun's going down behind my back. This is from Jim Townsend. The band is Cousin Eddie from Girard, Kansas. A group of friends that wrote and recorded two albums worth of original music after they turned 40. And Jim
that is
writes,
a vacation reference, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that's Cousin
Randy
Eddie.
Quaid, I love it.
I hope you enjoy the song and will send more. I've been a loyal little for many years. I enjoy the podcast daily. I first saw you, Tony, on the early episodes of Sports Reporters and began to read your columns and books. It's very, very nice. Jim Townsend and the band again, Cousin Eddie.
That's
John Hyland.
That's Jim, not Pete Townsend, right?
It's not Pete Townsend. It's a very good song, though.
It is.
John Hyland joins us now. You know John from MSNBC and the Today Show on NBC and The Circus on Showtime and the great books that he's done. And he's very nice to join the show now because we want you in here.
And buddy of my cousin Kenny, speaking of Cousin Eddie.
Okay,
right,
so
John?
There
you
go.
And Kenny Miller, good buddies?
Kenny Miller, I don't like saying somebody's my best friend, you know, because it excludes a whole bunch of people and they all get pissed at you and then you're in trouble.
Right. But one Kenny of Miller, your finest friends.
Kenny Miller's in the top tier.
Yes, good people.
He's also, Heilman fact, music lover and music aficionado.
That's good to know.
Knows everything about
music.
Well,
that's good to know.
Yes.
That's good to
and
know.
And has great taste, which means that it comports with mine in music.
So you get the seal of approval.
Ask if he'd spent $10,000 to rewind 10 hours.
We call that the solicit kiss of death.
So, yeah, so let's ask you a question. As long as we're going to talk about music just a little bit here, solicit spent about 20 hours standing online for a U2 concert. Would you do that? I wouldn't.
Wow. I don't mean to be mean to Chris, but you don't have to stand online if you're friends with the band. You know,
boom.
I told you perfect for this show.
I've seen him twice on this tour already, and there have been no lines in my path. Either the Rose Bowl 2 weeks ago or at Soldier Field last Saturday. I did not find myself in any lines.
They were in Pittsburgh last night, and our friend Matt Helfrich saw him, and I don't know that he stood online, but you did. And you know what, Chris? It's great that you did.
Yeah.
It's great.
I know.
It's not like we're going to bring it up.
No.
We're never going to bring it up again.
No, because I wouldn't, if I had the offer of that sort of VIP treatment, I'm not the kind of guy who would accept that sort of thing like John.
let me get to the Comey thing. I mean, everybody is saying it's really big. Go ahead.
Chris, if you want to come backstage when they're here in Washington, let me know.
Oh, my gosh.
Brutal.
Words hurt.
That is brutal. Let's get to James Comey. And as I said when we opened the show, when this drops at 11 o'clock Eastern and 8 o'clock Pacific, he will have already been an hour in to testimony. How big a deal is this to you, what he might say, given what he has already released that he has said?
We overstate the importance of political events all the time, people in our business, but, you know, this is sort of the combination of, you know, Game 7 of the World Series, the Super Bowl, and Rhoda's wedding all rolled up into one. It's a big deal. We don't see existential threats to a presidency very often. You know, I mean, this is, you know, there's a reason why people are focused on this, because this is a moment and the most public, most dramatic, most central and consequential so far moment in a drama that's going to play out over the coming weeks and months, but where the future, the fate of the presidency is at stake. And if there's one human other than Donald Trump who poses the greatest existential threat to Donald Trump, it's Jim Comey. So I think people are right focused on this. I think this is a guy who has evidence that is not going to be conclusive. It's not going to be determinative, but it's critical to one of the two important cases that are being built against Trump right now, one of which is the case around obstruction of justice. and abuse of power. Obstruction of justice is a term, although it won't be a criminal case in the case of Trump. It's a political case if it gets made against him, but those two conjoined ideas that he tried to obstruct these investigations and that he's abusing the power of the presidency, that's one of the two cases. The other is the case around the people around him and maybe him related to colluding with Russia to the election in 2016. That's a harder, murkier case to make. It may be made, but it'll take a lot longer and it'll be harder. This obstruction case...
Your phone is terrible.
Being built.
Where did you get this phone? Did you get this phone at Radio Shack? Your phone is terrible.
It's a brand new iPhone 7. What am I going to tell you?
I'd be like, awful.
How about click?
Are you in a cave?
Yeah, where are you? Are you in a cave? I mean, your phone is terrible.
I'm in a secret love, in a secret undisclosed location.
Okay.
Next time you guys don't want to deal with the phone thing, just have me come up and sit there. You know, this instance, you know, you got Solizzo.
That's what we should have done.
Physically with you.
Send a car.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, if you got me, guy waits 20 hours in line for you too. Sub him out for the VIP guy.
Let me get to what struck me last night. And I watched. I went around the dial and I watched everybody. And I guess I'm always, maybe I'm wrong, I'm always more impressed with Jeff Toobin than anybody else because I just think he gets to it quicker. And he and Carl Bernstein were on and they said, yes, it's obstruction of justice. And we'll get to that part because that's going to be debated for a long period of time. But I want to ask a little bit about Comey in this regard. About 6 months ago when he was lowering the boom on Hillary Clinton, every single Democrat in the world wanted him fired. Then every single Republican in the world wanted him fired. And now the Democrats seem to love him at this point, though I don't know how long that will last. As an English major, I look at what is going on right now and pay attention to the words a little bit. And he's Hamlet. I mean, he's Hamlet. I mean, he's saying, look at me. I'm a big star. Care about my life. Care about my plight. Oh, cursed spite that I was ever born to set it right. Am I wrong if I look at him that way?
Well, my God. How much more of Hamlet can you quote, Tony?
Well, a little, here and there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was damn impressive.
Yeah, well.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's probably a bunch of characters in Shakespeare that qualify for Comey. He's a complicated figure, and he's not straightforwardly, as you suggest, he's not straightforwardly sympathetic.
No.
Straightforwardly someone who one party or the other can attach themselves to, as we've seen. I mean, the best story about this, of course, was the story of that night that he got fired by Trump on the Colbert Show, on the Late Show. Colbert said, hey, you know, make some comments to the audience there, his liberal audience, said, you know, Trump just got fired today. The audience erupts into applause. And Colbert had to, no, actually, that's what you were supposed to do a week ago. Now it's bad that he got fired, right? So people don't, I mean, in this world, this tribal world where we all kind of have our views about politics and people are either liberal or conservative, they're heroes according to what jersey they wear, he's hard to figure out because, you know, a few weeks ago he was the great liberal bete noir and now all liberals love him because he's been victimized allegedly by Donald Trump. But he's a complicated figure. More than anything, he's not... The reason I kind of balk at Hamlet a little bit is he's too savvy and too much of a player in Washington to fully be that role. This is a guy who is a master of understanding both the optics of the room he's going to be in today, or the room he will have been in today for an hour or so by the time this drops.
Yeah.
He's a guy who understands the theater of politics. He's played that game extraordinarily well in the past, and he understands something that Trump and his people don't seem to that well yet, which is the kind of nexus and the nexus of where the legal process, the political process, and how those things kind of get intertwined in Washington. And so, you know, read that testimony that he wrote yesterday when the written version came out. The first thing you were struck by is it's unlike any testimony anybody has ever submitted to Congress before. It's like someone said on television last night, it was a combination of like a bad romance novel and a good detective novel, right? It's like it's written in a way to heighten the drama.
Absolutely.
Every sentence. I mean, it's not like a piece of congressional testimony, right?
No. It says, look at me. I mean, all of this screams, if you're James Comey, who's 6'8 and being used to being gawked at, gawk at me some more and look at me. And it leads to this question. He was in a position as the director of the FBI where it seems to me discretion is extraordinarily important. With what you know of him, John, is he a discreet or indiscreet guy? Because the way he is writing this, it looks like indiscretion rather than discretion.
Well, I think discretion is, look, I mean, reality is that even though he was taking these contemporaneous notes about Trump, clearly with an eye towards the possibility that they would one day potentially become public,
yeah,
if the fate that did befall him, right? It's also the case that we didn't see them then. And one of the complaints, that we didn't see them contemporaneously. We didn't hear about this stuff. We didn't hear about these conversations until Trump fired him.
Yes.
One of the questions he's going to get asked today is, hey, man, if you were in the middle of trying to obstruct justice and abuse power, why didn't you come forward in a public way earlier if you were the head of the FBI and you had these concerns? Now, he is going to say, well, I sort of did come forward. I came forward to Jeff Sessions and said, hey, don't let me be in the same room with the president. And that was my version of coming forward. But the point is, he keeps secrets. There's no question that he has, you know, we did not know that there was an investigation going on of Trump campaign related to potential Russia, that started in July of last year. That began in July of last year. We did not know about that until he testified in the House Intelligence Committee in February, right? So that secret was kept. And in fact, not only was that secret kept from the public, it was kept from most of the people in the Obama administration. So discretion, when he wants to be discreet,
yeah,
and wants to keep secrets, is great. On the other hand, I don't necessarily is in conflict with the notion that he's a self-dramatizer and that he puts himself, that he wants to be the hero of the story, and that he sees himself as the last man of rectitude, the last honest man in Washington, D.C., and loves that image. And so he,
yeah,
is, as much as I think he didn't want to be fired by Donald Trump, he loves the stage he's on today. Is,
yeah,
a stage that he loves being on, and it's a role that he has spent a lifetime and a career polishing, and this moment is now a moment that, although he couldn't quite engineer it for himself, it took Donald Trump to do that, he loves this, and that's why he's so dangerous to Trump, because I think on some level, he sees his place in history as being of great consequence, and he came out 2016 campaign with people saying, you destroyed Hillary Clinton's chance to be president of the United States. You, sir, are responsible for bringing down that woman. Democrats were saying that at,
yes,
the end of the election. And,
sure,
and now he has a chance to even the scales in some ways, right? Kind of say, yes, I did stab Hillary Clinton, and now I'm going to take down Donald Trump, and no one will ever say that I was a partisan actor. I'm doing all this in the service of the country and the service of the truth. And I think that self, that image, is an image he much is much wedded to. And that, given the secrets that he knows and the skill playing this game, it makes him a really, really dangerous figure for Donald Trump and his associates.
Yeah, so let me get to that part of it. And let me say about Donald Trump that most of us would probably agree that he has no background for the job that he has now, and that much of what he has done in his life, much of his credentials, and the great joy he takes in being the art of the deal guy, is this one-on-one stuff where he puts his arm around you and schmoozes you and gets you to believe that the deal you're going to make is better for you than it is for him, and that's how he's made a reputation. And it leads me to the question of, do you think, and I'm not, ignorance of the law is no excuse, I understand this, but do you think he has any idea or had any idea that what he was doing could be obstruction of justice and abuse of power, or do you think he just figured, hey, I'm the guy, this is what I do? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I say this with I'm not sure how much time my friend Chris Saliza has spent with Trump. I have not spent an enormous amount of time with him, but I've spent enough with him to know the little truth of what you're saying, Tony, which is, and he's not unlike a lot of some of the other billionaires and business titans who I've met, and some other political figures. But in business, there's a particular kind of thing because they see them salesmen, right? And all of them believe that if they get you in a room one-on-one,
yes,
they can make you embrace them, and they can make you embrace their vision of the world and their place in the world through the power of their personality and their charisma and their ability to sell. Trump is very much like that, and he is extraordinarily, in a one-on-one setting, he's an extraordinarily charming and charismatic,
that's right,
guy. People on the left will get mad at me for saying this, but the truth is,
that's 100% right, John. Yeah.
If you're in a small group with the guy, my wife, who is as liberal as you can get. She hated Donald Trump from the day he got into the campaign until today, except for one two-hour block. And it was a two-hour block where she was standing backstage with him and me at an event in Iowa, and his focus was her and on charming her. And for those 2 hours, she was like, my God, he's so charming.
Try playing golf with him.
And was like,
He
just has that power. So someone who's endowed with that kind of power clearly is always wants to try to be exercising it. And I think that mostly what he saw in Comey was a person to be won over and a person to be brought to his side. And you're right. I think ignorance of the law is no excuse.
No, it's not.
If you become president of the United States, and that's your job now, you got to get smart about what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And I think that the two things are not inconsistent. You know, obstruction of justice, abuse of power, and this thing that we're describing, those things can coexist in a single person. But do I think he fully understood the gravity of what he was doing, the rules he was breaking, the kind of trouble he might be getting into, and just what ethics and a proper understanding of his role as president and the independence of the FBI? Do I think he fully understood all of that? I do not.
Okay, so now we get to the last question before we let you and your terrible phone go, as much as we love you and we bring you in here from now on. And that is, these are. I'm old enough to remember Watergate and to remember it well. And terms like abuse of power and obstruction of justice are major components of impeachment cases. Are we going down that road inevitably?
I said for 6 months, Tony, 6 months from the day that Trump was elected until a particular moment, which I'll pinpoint for you momentarily. I said for 6 months to every liberal I knew, I said, there is no way Trump is going to be impeached. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste a moment thinking about the possibility that this guy will be impeached. Go do something useful with your time if you want to oppose Trump. Go find a Democratic congressman or a congresswoman and elect that person. Don't waste time. He'll not be impeached, partly because it didn't seem to me he'd done anything impeachable, and secondly, because of the Republican Congress. This is not going to happen. And on the day that Michael Schmidt wrote in the New York Times, broke the news that Comey had been keeping contemporaneous notes of his so first Trump fires Comey, and then the New York Times writes this story that says he's got these contemporaneous notes. On that day, I called my wife and said, you know, I said for 6 months it's impossible for Trump to be impeached. I now think it's more than probable, not inevitable, but it now is, to me, likely that we are headed down that road. And I won't say I think it's guaranteed. Because of the power of this obstruction case that's being built and because of the potential power of the collusion case and the dynamics that are now in play on the Democratic side, on the legal side, and more to the point, because of the Republican Congress is still a crucial element here. The fact that Trump's agenda is stalled, he's accomplishing nothing, and his popularity in the country, including with many people who voted for him, is kind of inexorably declining right now, and there's no real way I can see for that to be reversed. The combination of those factors, I think you're looking at a world where 6 months from now, these proceedings and the investigation are further along, much further along than they are now. And Trump's approval is now at 32, 31, and the Republicans in Congress look up and say, you know what, previously the thing that kept us from ever considering impeaching you was that you were way too unpopular, and now they're way too popular with our people, with our voters, and alienate your voters in our districts and our states. Yeah, not anymore. You know, you've reached the tipping point where you're more of a burden than you are a benefit. You've reached the tipping point where you're too expensive for us politically to. And again, I'm not saying it's inevitable he's going to be impeached, but it is to me much more likely, given these dynamics now, that this is something we're going to be staring in the face of and is going to be much more plausible 6 months from now than I ever thought remotely possible 6 months ago.
Thank you, John. Get in here next week, will you? Get in here next week. We need to have you in here. Thank you, John.
Okay.
John Hyland, boys and girls.
Leave the phone at home, though.
Yeah, no, the phone is... That's a terrible phone.
You should take the phone and throw it in the ocean.
Yeah.
But he's... By the way,
he's really great.
He's 100% right.
He's really good.
About all that stuff. And his diagnosis of who Trump is,
I think, is the most important thing. You know, people always say don't play pop psychologist, but the truth of the matter is that's a lot of what you're doing when you're covering a president. You're trying to figure out why they do what they do. It doesn't matter in a legal sense why Trump asked Comey to drop the Flynn investigation or say, I need your loyalty. It doesn't really, but I do think it's more likely than not that that is how he in his business life handled things. And he did not pay attention when people said the business world and the political world are not a one-to-one comparison. I mean, just sort of, that's how he does things. He's a 70-year-old man who's had a lot of success in his life, and he sort of does things the way he does them.
We'll be back with news.
I work with a guy like that.
Yeah. Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the Harry's ad. I will be using Harry's later in the day. Gary, will you use Harry's later?
Look at me.
In the
what
day?
Do you think? Yeah, yes, I think I need some.
I already used it.
I'm getting
Chris
Harry.
Already used it. I don't know about Michael. Michael's going to play later, probably later in the day after he plays. Father's Day is just around the corner. Dads are impossible to shop for. Well, not if you do this. Not if you pay attention to the friends at Harry's and the special offer that you're going to love and your dad will too. You get $5 off one of their shave sets, including a limited edition Father's Day set at harrys.com/Tony K. Harry's is, this is a good gift. You know, there are some gifts that we talk about on Father's Day and they're good, and there's others, and this is one of the good ones. The meat is one of the good ones.
Yes,
the
yes.
meat to
yeah,
grill, and this is one of the good ones. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. There's 5 German-crafted blades, flex hinge, lubricating strip, 100% quality guarantee, a full refund if you're not happy. At $2 a blade or less, which is half the price of the leading 5-blade razor brand, shave sets start at just $15, not to mention $5 off when you go to harrys.com/Tony K. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave gel, and 3 of Harry's 5-blade precision-engineered razors. Harry's limited edition Father's Day shave set comes with a storm gray razor handle that you can put your hands on and say to other people in your house, get your hands off my storm gray razor handle. Chrome razor stand, foaming shave gel, 3 replacement blades, and a travel cover. Plus, it comes in a sleek, and we argue about whether this is a word, giftable box with the option to add custom engraving and a personalized card for free. For example, and I say this happily, when I received my driver from Callaway,
right.
my Epic driver, my name is on it.
Ooh.
I mean, that changes things.
Is it
when
sure.
you
doctor?
Tony, no, it just says Tony Corner. So when you get something personalized for someone, you put their name or initials on it, that is a game-changing moment.
So I got a tat with my name on it.
That's great.
Oh, there you go.
So go to harrys.com/Tony K right now to redeem a special offer for fans of the high-quality podcast you're listening to. Harry's will give you $5 off one of their shave sets. This is for a limited time only. Act now. That's harrys.com/Tony K to get $5 off and help support this show. That's sneaky good on their part.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
I'm going to read this note verbatim because this note is that good. It is from Eric DeLong, who says, I'm a longtime millennial little from Woodside, New York. And Woodside is in Queens. It's right on the Long Island Railroad. I've always wanted to send something your way. And after arriving at my father's house this weekend to see that every appliance is made by Samsung, I figure this may be my last shot. The song attached, Me, 40 Pounds of Meth, and You, is from the soon-to-be-released short film 100 Subscribers by the sketch comedy group Kid Cactus. In the style of songs from the Darren, Martin, etc. era, the track depicts the loving bonds that are formed by a good old-fashioned meth cook with a friend. Thank you all so much for the years of laughs, and I hope you enjoy. That's a great, great email. Great.
That's like the thing we were going to do, the musical romp about Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Right. Saucy Jack. Jack. Yeah. He's a haughty one.
Saucy Jack. You're a naughty one, Saucy Jack, yes.
Michael, how do people, if they're like Eric DeLong and they want to send music in originally, how do they do it?
If you originally want to send music in, musicians, please send it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And as I noticed that I'm wearing Johnny O shorts and Gary has a Johnny O shirt and Michael has a Johnny O shirt.
I have a Johnny O tattoo.
You have a Johnny O tattoo. Tell people again.
What Michael, do you know what model of the Johnny O I'm sporting today?
Gary is wearing the Prep-formance golf shirt. I believe that might be the Bunker Prep.
That is the
This is a golf-specific shirt. Looks good on you.
Thank you.
My bunker
prep. It's not easy, too. It speaks to how good their stuff is.
My bunker prep is to take 10 balls in there with me.
Ba-doom! So what do? If you want to get for Father's Day for your dad, or your son, how do you do it?
Consider matching outfits. Yes, you can go to johnnyo.com. You can find their link through our website and apply the Dr. Tony code for 30% off. Now, I don't want to name names, but one of our listeners tweeted at us a complaint that they're having issues. This is to you, David Morris. If you're having issues, please reach out to Johnny O. They have a great customer service response team. And I actually just tried out the Dr. Tony code here. I believe you might have tried to apply more than one coupon offer, so maybe they have a separate deal that you might have received in the mail. But I just, as a sort of a test, put 5 or 4 tweener button downs, and I received 150 off of this potential purchase. Deal. So check that out.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Father's Day, it goes, I think, the day after. So even if you have a fight on Father's Day,
you can call
home.
I think that's correct. I think we've been saying the 19th of June it's through. Right?
All right, so
Dr. Tony.
Dr.
So Tony.
I know a lot of you dads want Johnny O. Maybe you don't get Johnny O, you get cash. Like a lot of kids I know give cash for Father's Day to their dads.
Yes.
So go on Monday and spend some of the cash and get some Johnny O.
I've asked my kids specifically for cash.
You get Bitcoin for Father's Day.
It's the only currency that's going to survive, Nigel.
That is true.
All right, so this is the news segment.
Yes.
And Nigel was not here yesterday. Michael was rollicking.
I didn't really notice.
Michael was really good on the news segment. And I don't want you to feel any particular pressure, but I'm like, and Michael didn't even get news from. Michael just did his own news.
Right. There was no coordination of the
news. It was so independent. It was so on his own. I was really.
I'll
impressed.
Be stretching in the corner. No pressure.
So true. He's warming up in the pen.
Listening up.
Yeah. Okay, let me try this now. Before I do get into the news proper, I would like to make an announcement from the management of Chatter that you can come to Chatter and watch the Comey hearing. So please come on.
Really?
Sit at the bar. Yes, sit at the bar.
Well, it
started an hour
started,
and a half ago.
We dropped.
Well, but it'll be going. Yeah, it'll be going
still
for
be
a while.
Going.
It's an all-day deal.
Yes.
Do you think he would be? Now, this is how much of an ego does he have? One of the great things that Joe Theismann used to do, when Joe Theismann knew he was being interviewed by 2 or 3 separate news organizations when he was the quarterback of the Redskins, he would bring changes of clothing.
Oh, that's big.
So that if he was on 7, he wore one thing, 4, 9, something else. Will Comey in the afternoon session, will
costume
he
change? Chris,
will he have a costume?
Johnny O.
They'll do a brief interlude.
Grand
the
standard.
Band will play. Bum, bum, da-dum, bum, 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 bum. He comes back out. Hey, everybody. Top hat.
Yeah.
That would be terrific.
Yeah,
I always wonder about the stamina those guys have. They're just sitting in one place for 7 hours. I have to go to the bathroom 9 times in 7 hours.
It's terrible. Can't do it. Go ahead.
By the way, I would also like to read this note. It was written in a package sent to us this morning from Ted and Kara from Shanghai, China.
Pin them.
Dear Mr. Tony, enjoy this assortment of snacks from our corner store.
We're going to give these things out.
Also,
I wouldn't do that.
Also, feel free to share with the gang.
Issues.
Now, just to hold up
they're
the news
chicken
channel.
Feet.
It's chicken feet or hands or
that's
paws.
That's a foot of some sort.
Chicken feet.
We are not sure what these
Show
are.
Show them the brown one. Yeah.
I don't know.
Let me see that again.
I don't know.
There you go.
Chicken livers. Don't touch that with your hands.
It just appears to be random ball. Bits of meat put in plastics.
They're vacuum sealed, so we're not touching them.
How about that?
I mean, just a nice
Show them the
of
warm
meat.
Fish, Nigel.
Oh, yeah,
we
have that. Would you like a bit of fish with your coffee?
That's good. Everybody loves that.
My guess, and I'm not even joking when I say this, my guess on this is the gallbladder of a duck.
Yeah.
That's my guess. That's what it looks like. Or 4 of them, actually.
We're going to give that out.
And
we had some other thoughts.
To the people that bring their kids in, they're going to be forced to eat chicken feet.
Didn't Hampton Nega visit us in the studio and eat one of these in front of us one time?
What?
Have we heard from him again?
I would have remembered that.
I don't believe so.
He was a good guy.
So, thank you, Ted and Kara.
Yeah.
We will go to the world of college basketball, Mr. Tony, and that we know about the vacancy at Ohio State with Mata being let go.
They had Mata fired.
After 13 years, right? Something like that?
Fired. Weird. Fired while sitting there.
Is that short for Thaddeur or what? What's
Thaddeus? Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's that, I think.
Fade, okay.
I don't think it's short for Thaddeus. Thaddeus is a great name. I love that name, Thaddeus.
If you were thinking that Sean Miller, the head coach of Arizona, might fill that vacancy, the president of Arizona, Dr. Robert Robbins,
who's been on the job for all of 30 days,
said the Ohio State University is a great university, but they're not going to get Coach Miller. They'll have to come over me to get him, as they're saying, goes over my dead body.
I said on PTI yesterday, so if a freak accident befalls Dr. Robbins, you'll know that Ohio State is involved in something like that. Sean Miller is widely considered, if not the best, one of the best small handful of people who've never been to the Final Four. Everybody thinks he's a good coach. Everybody likes his brother Archie. Archie would have been perfect for this job coming from Dayton because he coached in-state there, but he took the Indiana job because the Ohio State job was not vacant
at
that particular time. I think I saw today on TV that Ohio State is interested in Greg McDermott, who is at Creighton.
Good hire.
And is a very good
coach. You've heard Hoiberg is open to it, allegedly.
No, I didn't know that.
So reportedly, he may have taken himself out between when we talk about this and now. But yeah, Hoiberg is a potential.
Didn't Sean Miller, wasn't he very close to coming to Maryland?
Was that rumored.
They wanted him, yes, at one point. I think they did okay. I think Turgeon, they've done
good. I recall, he leveraged that Maryland rumor into a nice deal at Arizona.
Yeah. I don't know why you would leave Arizona. I mean, they have a long history of success. It's a giant state university. They can pay you whatever you want. I mean,
and the weather is better than
Ohio
State.
And it's beautiful there all the time.
But all of those things are true about Ohio State except
the
weather.
Well, Lute Olson.
Except the weather.
Was there anyone between he and Lute Olson there?
Yeah, there was. I thought there was that guy who was Lute. We look it up. I thought Lute, like, longtime assistant or something.
Yeah, maybe a year or two. But
they were not good in
that team went to Final Fours. Sean Miller hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So eventually, he could get the Thad Mata treatment in a few more years.
Yes.
The Belmont Stakes, the third leg of the Triple Crown this Saturday. Obviously, not a lot of drama involved in it.
Do you think we'll have a Triple Crown winner this year?
I'm thinking it's probably doubtful, but you never want to say no.
50-50 right. Until they race.
We won't.
Classic Empire has dropped out. Your favorite now is Irish
it's a foot
War Cry.
Abscess.
Yes. Irish War Cry, your favorite.
Irish War Cry was third or fourth choice in the Kentucky Derby at one point.
Yes.
Even though there's no drama whatsoever, there will have a minimum crowd of 60,000 people at the Belmont. And if there is a Triple Crown situation, they have 110,000 or 120,000 people. So it's a big deal.
As well as eyeballs on the TV. I mean, everybody,
not as many. No. It's a three-week layover, and nobody's talked about the horses at all since.
But, I mean, if the Triple Crown was in play.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those things where
enormous number.
Everyone's like, put the TV on. Yes, put the TV on. Yes. To the French Open, Mr. Tony, Novak Djokovic fell in straight sets yesterday to Dominic, and I'm going to mispronounce
his
last name.
Bageled at the end.
Yes.
Time, I think his name is.
Time, yes. Dominic Time. 7-6, 6-3, and then it appeared as you said, well, I'm going to go get lunch, and 6-0.
So Novak Djokovic has reached that point. He is 30 years old, which is right at the age where you begin to get old as a tennis player in most cases. Not everybody, not Federer, but most of the time. Djokovic has now not won any of the last four majors, and he was the number one player in the world by unanimous acclamation. And the tip-off that he's in significant trouble, and this happens to all of them when they do this, when they say, yeah, I'm changing coaches. Because changing coaches means I can no longer motivate myself. And I need somebody to come in here and make me great again.
You're looking for some sort of magical solution to age.
He'll win a couple of more majors, I'm sure. And tennis is hurt by the fact it's disappearing before our eyes. There's nobody young who's any good. And no threats. I mean, Andy Murray is his age. Nadal is older than him. Federer is a million years old. You know what surprised me yesterday? We were having a conversation off air at PTI because I'm quick to say so-and-so is done. And I said it about Sampras a couple of years too early. Sampras wasn't done, and I declared him done. Do you know how old Sampras is now? Sampras is 45 years old.
Wow.
He played against Federer was his big rival for some period of time, was he not? How old is Roger Federer? How young was Roger Federer when he was great?
Federer's 37, I think.
He must have been still a teenager when he was great.
Yes.
He must have been, because it's a long time ago. What else?
Mr. Tony, Prince George's County Police are looking for somebody they are calling the Backhoe Bandit.
This is a great story.
Federer 35.
Oh, it's 35.
It'll be 36. Sorry.
Great story.
I had that wrong.
Change the board to. Oh, it's still 0 days.
It's still 0 days. We're going to leave that at zero.
It still
for
stays
a while.
At 0 days.
Probably could write that in permanent.
I actually have. Yeah, that's a shock. Apparently, this bloke, the backhoe bandit, as they're calling him, stole a piece of construction equipment, a backhoe, drove it 5 miles to a bank, and then used the heavy machinery to try and pry open an ATM. And I've seen the video of this.
He didn't
actually get to do it. I mean, he didn't succeed, but boy, he came very close.
Is it not easy to catch somebody driving a vehicle that goes 5 miles an hour?
It doesn't go that
fast. Is it not hard? It should be very easy to catch this guy. Does it not take an extraordinary amount of time to sort of break into the ATM machine
using this? The getaway vehicle? Because I would think he would be easy to rest it there.
Yeah, it was at 4:30 in the morning.
Well, it wasn't so well thought out. Maybe some alcohol involved.
There are people walking their dogs at that hour.
They do believe that...
Although not near an ATM, I have to be honest.
They do believe that this is the same person responsible for an ATM theft in March of 2016.
With a backhoe?
No, three men just broke into a tobacco shop in Marlboro Pike to rob that ATM. He was not successful this time, but as the police say he stole an ATM the first time. I guess they stole the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what you have to do because you can't break
it. Right. Well, we saw that in Breaking Bad.
Right.
Right. Just don't lean underneath it because bad things will happen. Yes. Yeah. Now he's upgraded to a backhoe. We have a progression. Please help us get him off the street before he upgrades to a helicopter. So there you go.
Well, he'd be off the street at that point.
He would.
Yeah, he'd be in the air.
And finally, I would like to take you to Salt Lake City, Utah, Mr. Tony. Where a woman was...
Beach Boys song, Salt Lake City.
Oh, is it a Beach Boys
song? Yeah, it's on Summer Days and Summer Nights.
Well, a woman with two young children, I guess she had a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, and the 7-year-old had a very loose tooth and another tooth that was slightly...
We talked about this.
Yeah,
did you do this yesterday?
Yeah,
do you not listen to the show in your absence?
Well, he was flying.
It took out a needle-nose pliers at a Walmart and started taking its kid's teeth out.
There you go.
Her kid's teeth.
I guess
I'll write that back to zero.
Make that a zero.
Go minus one.
Can we do it? This studio has gone minutes. It says days, but it might be minutes.
Has anyone done the string around the loose tooth and the other one around the doorknob and slam the door like I do to Spike and Ike in
no,
our house? Yeah,
no.
That gets it right.
Did you do the story about the bear playing the piano?
No, but
you just made that up.
That is a beautiful story.
That is a true story.
There's video.
That's a true story with the video.
Yeah.
Bear breaks into this woman's house. She has the video camera. She goes back and looks at it. The bear... about in the house.
They called the cops because they got home and their house had been trashed and they thought there was a break-in. And the cops, in investigating the break-in, said, it didn't seem right. And was there a chance they had any video? And they said, our security stays on the cloud for a day. And they went back in and they got a piano. They got a bear tearing through the kitchen, sitting on the piano.
Yeah, he leans up,
tickling
puts
the
his
ivories.
Paws on the piano, looks up and goes, that's done.
Like Tony Beeson.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Fantastic.
Exactly.
Let's get out of here.
All right.
We will come back with Old Guy Radio, will we not?
Yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. It has a sleek design, and it is delivered in a small, sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the Internet's favorite mattress. There is free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And if you try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home and then you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. It is designed, developed, and assembled in the United States of America, and you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Tony. And Casper is spelled C-A-S-P-E-R. Use the promo code Tony. Let's do it again. www.casper.com/Tony. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is totally Clips of the Heart. in honor of the fact that Bonnie Tyler is 66 years old today, and in honor of the fact that the song is written and produced by my high school classmate, Jimmy Steinman, of Hewlett High School. In terms of critical commentary, who doesn't like this song?
No,
who doesn't think that this song is good? It's overdone, sure, but it's great.
I can't think of it without think of it. Is it old school?
The wedding scene.
The wedding scene.
Where they curse in the middle of it.
That dude has changed it forever to me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of it right now.
That's probably the first time you saw it or heard it when you were like a teenager.
No, I had heard it maybe once, but not a lot.
Let me just say this about Jimmy Steinman, who writes these kinds of songs. I mean, he has write all the songs in Meatloaf and produced the Meatloaf stuff. He even made Air Supply sound good.
Yeah.
Air Supply has a song, Love or Nothing at All, or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jimmy. Making, Love or Nothing at All. Making Love or Nothing at All. Air Supply, not a great band.
Right.
Jimmy Steinman made them sound great.
And I guess he presented a couple of songs to Bonnie Tyler. You know, they met and they wanted to work together. And she's like, no, I'm not really into those songs. They came back a couple of weeks later. And she had already said, I don't think I want to work with him. And then presented Total Eclipse of the Heart. And said, oh, this actually is rather good.
Yeah, this would be what is called Bonnie Tyler's one and only.
Right.
Okay. How many? Tell me the rest of the Bonnie Tyler catalog.
That Bonnie not getting it done.
Right. Yeah, what's the rest of the catalog? Thank you. It's this.
Yeah, Holding Out for a Hero.
Oh, that was pretty good.
I'm holding out for a hero at the end of the night.
Bitter Blue.
Did Jimmy do that one too?
Be strong.
Is that a Jimmy song?
Holding Out for a Hero.
That sounds like a Bon Jovi song.
That only counts once, Nigel.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
All right. So we didn't get to, earlier in the day, we didn't get to Big Game Bob Stoops, who resigned yesterday.
Was written by Steinman.
Okay, yeah. So her entire oeuvre, as we like to say, that anybody
she
cares about is Jimmy Steinman. Thank you.
Didn't she also do Tangled Up in Blue?
Yeah, that's right. Kidding. Mr. Tambourine Man.
So, and by the way, Jimmy is trying to mount a Broadway show, starting it out in England, based on the notion of Bat Out of Hell, a combination of Bat Out of Hell and Peter Pan. So you just let your mind run with that for a little while. And if it works, it'll be here in next year or something like that. Big Game Bob Stoops. Now, you've heard me say on this show and on other shows that I really don't like him. I don't like him personally. And a good day for me is when Big Game Bob Stoops and Urban Meyer and Nick Saban lose.
Can you
that
reset?
That rarely happens.
Right. Can you reset for us or for me the derivation of your
attacks people in the media.
You sound like the way he rolls.
It's the way Nick Saban does it. He stands up there and says, who are you to ask me this? And I don't like him.
Right.
Okay. That doesn't mean I don't think he's a really good coach. I delighted when he would lose early in the season and take himself out of the national championship picture. But he's a really good coach. He was there for 18 years, 18 seasons, he was 11-7 versus Texas. And you measure Oklahoma coaches by how they do against Texas in the same way you measure Michigan and Ohio State. That same way.
Maryland Rutgers.
He won 10, not Maryland Rutgers.
Georgetown Creighton.
He won 10, Georgetown Florida Gulf. He won 10 Big 12 titles.
What the?
He won a national championship. He was 190-48. And he's 56 years old.
9-9
I'm sorry,
in
that's
bowls,
young.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that's young.
It's
56.
Old to be wearing that visor. So.
Do you think he'll coach? He says his health is fine, and he says he's walking away because it's the right time, and they don't want to fire him. This is not Thad Matta.
I bet he
what
coach
do you think
again.
Happens?
I bet he coach again. I think all those guys, unless he goes into the booth like a Gruden-type situation and loves it and prospers, my guess
what
is those
indicates
guys
to you that he's a booth guy?
He's not a booth guy at all.
So
my guess is he spends a year or two out and then comes back. I mean, they don't need them. None of these guys at that level need the money.
He makes $5-6 million.
You never know that. You have to be careful about saying that. I mean, he makes a ton of money. You don't know that he doesn't need it.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, he could have bought a restaurant or two.
But I would agree. He is way too young to completely walk away from the game. I would be shocked.
So why do you think he walked? It's a great job. You can win the national championship. You're not fighting.
I mean, certainly
any
wasn't under any pressure.
None.
I mean, all indications are he just decided he was walking away. So, burnout?
He gave it to a 33-year-old kid.
Yeah.
33-year-old kid has been his offense. Maybe the kid's really good. I don't know. I mean, I can't explain this.
It's odd.
One national championship, 9-9 in bowl games.
That means he got to 18 bowl games.
And
he
lost half of them.
He got to big bowls.
Yeah.
Big ones. Now, he's most famous for losing to Boise State. Yes. But he also won a national championship.
Yes, he did. Can't take that away from him.
Has the coach at Maryland won a national championship?
No, but you know what? Okay. I do hear Randy Edsall is a front runner for the Oklahoma gig if the 33-year-old thing doesn't work out.
Yeah. What else did I have? The Nats. Michael, did you watch the Nats?
I did. Great afternoon game.
Lived up to it. Strasburg ran out of gas in the sixth and got hurt by Jose Lobatone on a pass ball. That hurt. They got two runs, but if you look at the statistics.
He really got hurt by Kershaw's at-bat, which led to the first at, but he just ran that pitch count up, and I think that's what tired him out.
Here's what happens. Strasburg goes six innings, gives up three hits, one earned, and has eight strikeouts. And you think, that's great. And it is. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's Kershaw after a second-inning home run to Ryan Zimmerman. Seven innings, three hits, one run, nine Ks.
Yep.
And Morikan economical, 95 pitches in seven, and Strasburg had 104
and six. Kershaw says he didn't even have his best stuff, just to stick it to the Nats fans.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Kershaw is not just the best pitcher out there now. Many people will tell you he may be the best pitcher ever, regular season pitcher ever.
Well, this goes back to what we've been talking about in the conversation. He probably at this point, particularly after his performance last year in the postseason that doomed the Nats.
Better.
He certainly has – he's in that conversation of, you know, who are the five best left-handed pitchers in history?
Yeah.
You know, obviously Koufax is he's probably one, but beyond that, he's probably in that conversation.
Warren Spahn. Was he a lefty? Warren Spahn a lefty?
Yep.
People talk about Randy Johnson.
I did not get to see the game, given that it was a day game, but I would ask Michael and you, Tony, if you saw it, if there was any bullpen envy as you watch Kenley Jansen come out and just shut the door in the night.
I think it's possible that Kota Glover is going to be great. He certainly has a great attitude because he's yelled at Puig, sit down.
That was great.
Like
sit
that.
Down.
I think it was more like get in the expletive dugout.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did you? I didn't send it to you because I know you don't communicate electronically. But I sent it to Michael, Nigel, and Gary. There's a great video of Scherzer.
I shared it with him this morning.
Oh, talking to himself on the mound. I love him. He's crazy.
He's the number one guy.
I love him so much. He's cursing.
He's screaming
into his glove as he's pitching in the seventh inning of that game. I could not love him anymore.
I'm not going to go really long with this, but we should do this. As we've explained twice already, we do not have the benefit of knowing what is going on with James Comey, even though you will hear this after that has been on for at least an hour. Chris, this is something you're going to have to talk about at great length today.
I will leave here and head there.
Heilemann saw this as it seemed to me he was saying, this is very possibly a watershed moment in the presidency of Donald Trump. Do you see it the same way?
Yes.
Do you think Comey has that kind of credibility?
John made the right point, which is if you are making a list of Donald Trump's biggest threats, I would say number one, two, and three are Donald Trump. I mean, genuinely, like, I'm not trying to he is a giant problem to himself. If you think of the
hasn't tweeted yet, to my knowledge,
has not. I've been monitoring.
I would think that a lawyer would have said to him, whatever else you do, you're not doing.
He's allegedly supposed to be sequestered with his legal team and aides watching the testimony.
Right.
So who knows what that means? But he is a huge, huge problem for himself. But once you get beyond whether he's one, two, and three, or whether he's just number one, Comey is the next, because Comey can say, I sat in the room with him. He said, I hope you can find a way to drop this Flynn testimony. Donald Trump, responding to a question, was asked, did you tell...
Said no.
He said no. Next question.
Yes, said no.
You know, those two things can't exist in the same world. Either Jim Comey is lying, Donald Trump is lying, or it's the greatest misunderstanding in the history of mankind.
But if Donald Trump is lying, it doesn't... Lie. I mean, it's not...
No,
I mean, so
right. You
lie.
Can, yeah. Well, look, I read a bunch of people in the wake of the written testimony, which I would urge people, if you're one of the 20 people who have not read it, it's only 7 pages long. It's literally a page turner.
Yeah.
People saying, look, this is good for Donald Trump because there's nothing in here.
Comey is not
saying he obstructed justice.
He claimed victory.
Donald Trump had said that three times Comey told him he wasn't under investigation. In that 7-page thing with Comey, he says there were three times he said he told the truth.
It's being celebrated. It's like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right. You know, I just think Comey is the person who can most directly rebut
the narrative that Donald Trump has sold around all of this stuff. Now, that will not be good enough for a certain group of people who are Trump supporters. They view okay. Comey as, but I think that Comey is viewed broadly speaking, broadly as credible. And that poses a problem for Trump because what he won't do in this, even though it will have already started, I guarantee what he won't do, he won't do the like, and then he said to me, you need to fire Flynn. Boom, got you, Donald. You know, like he's going to be low key.
Stately.
We know, right. Yeah. We know what he, okay. how he is in these hearings.
You've been around politics for most of your adult
Absolutely.
Life and all of your career.
Yep.
Have you ever seen a guy leak his own stuff quite like this and shine a light on himself, an appointed position guy, not a guy running for office, to do this, to say, hey, I'm the hero in this. Look at me. Here, you've got it now. Because yesterday at about 2 o'clock, I remember thinking to myself, how does everybody know what how did this happen? Who got a hold of this? And then I found out he did it.
And let me ask as a follow-up, is there something to be said for the argument that this was a show of cooperation and he did this to allow the members of the committee the opportunity to sort of prepare follow-up questions to his testimony?
That's the most positive reading for Comey of this. That's why he did it. Just so you know, no one knew this was coming. Suddenly on the Senate Intelligence Committee,
boom,
there was a PDF of his. No one knew. There was no like, hey guys, FYI, this is happening. Yeah, Richard Burr, the chairman of the committee, told reporters afterward that Comey and he had agreed that this is what they would do, that they would post it early. The less charitable interpretation is that he wanted several days of coverage of this. I mean, he got wall to wall coverage from the second it came out until right now. And then as soon as he in 40 minutes in our time, when he starts, it will also be the biggest story out there. I think that.
But he's been quiet until now. I mean, you know, he could have been out there talking.
He could have. Look, I don't think Donald Trump understood what he was getting into when he fired Comey. And I'm sure someone told him. But the whole reason Comey has the FBI job is because he was the guy who, when Alberto Gonzalez who was the White House counsel at the time, went to John Ashcroft, who was the attorney general. Ashcroft had pancreatitis, was in the hospital, and tried to get him to sign an extension of the domestic surveillance program. Comey's the guy who rushed to Ashcroft's bedside and put a stop to it, right? And then how do we know that? Because Comey is a meticulous note taker and documenter of what he does and says. So the idea that Donald Trump would say, fire him, and then say all these things about him and say, well, that never happened, that didn't happen. Comey's whole bit is that he takes notes, that he documents everything. And his reputation is that he does have a little bit of a flair for the dramatic. He likes to be the guy, the FBI guy from the movie, right? The guy who comes in and he's the honest broker. I just don't think Trump either didn't know or didn't care. But this is Comey serving his revenge.
If I had to pick
Trump,
didn't know or didn't care, didn't care. What do you say? Doesn't care about any of these things. It doesn't,
even when it has
when
an obvious direct impact in him.
Doesn't care. Because he thinks he's better.
You're probably right.
Stronger, better,
or above it, that
bigger.
It won't bother him.
I'm bigger
him,
than this. Can't touch me.
You could have seen
this coming.
This
is a guy who said, I can shoot somebody.
In the middle of Fifth Avenue.
He
could have and should have seen this coming. Comey's reputation is exactly this. The idea that, remember, by the way, one thing we learned that's really interesting in that thing, the written testimony. Comey meets Trump face-to-face for the first time ever on January 6th. He immediately after that meeting gets in the car and starts taking notes and documenting it on his laptop, which he had not done with Obama in his private conversation. What does that tell you about what Comey thinks, where this is headed?
He also, did I hear, reported met with Obama twice.
Twice.
One time to say goodbye, and he met with Trump
nine times. Nine times. But, and most of those times, if you, according to the documentation here, was either Trump either calling him or Trump asking him to come. My favorite one is that Trump asked him to come to dinner and Comey shows up and he thinks it's a group dinner And it's just him and Trump at this small table in the middle of a room.
It was Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. No, I invited a bunch of other people. They couldn't come. You know, logistics and stuff. You know how that goes.
We'll be back. It's a very long show today. I hope it's people listen to it. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Now you're making money, investing it right. Got some partners in rich social life. Well, if you find yourself in that 1% place, buddy, I know how to throw that money away. Just buy yourself a restaurant named Chatter, a couple brand new signs, a bar with great big old flat screen TVs.
We have a lot of
local beer menu and boxes of wine. Remove some prime seating for studio placement. You can always serve people in the basement. I wish I had a restaurant named Chatter and I'd serve Wiener Schnitzel too.
The lyrics are by Bill Bardo in Columbus, Ohio. The vocals by Joe Arrow, of course. Makes me feel sad that I've made a tremendous mistake with Michael's money.
Made a huge mistake.
Just a bad mistake. Before we get to the mailbag, I want to say thanks to John Heilemann for coming on the show today. I would also like to thank our sponsors, SeatGeek, Casper Mattresses, and Harry's Razors. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I have this from Alan Galagos. I'm a millennial little who's been listening to the show.
Galagos.
Maybe it's Galagos.
I have no idea.
I'm a millennial little who's been listening to the show since I discovered your ESPN show in Ithaca, New York, while I was in college. Please tell the driver of the Jeep with Orioles and a TK sticker that parks at the garage at 190 West Baltimore Street that I was the person who put the La Cheesery note on his or her windshield. Please don't read my name on the air, since what's the fun in life without littles mysteriously leaving other littles creepy notes on each other's windshields? That's a
I'll leave a note under Nigel's door every once in a while. Just let him know I'm watching.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate
Jeff
that.
Jeff Jackson in Texas, who just writes, please stop saying fo, 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 fo. You sound like a dope. From Toby Solabello in Sebring, Florida. On yesterday's podcast, you brought up the story of the Sebring mother who let a snake bite their child. I couldn't help but think this was another David Aldridge moment. I live there. That's the town I live in. Though I don't know the mother personally, I'm not shocked that this happened in my town at all. Many odd things happen in this tiny town in Central Florida. Just last month, a man hired a prostitute online. Little did he know, the woman he hired actually turned out to be his wife.
Oh, oh my. Oh. What?
Like I said, many odd things.
Whoops.
From Fran Levy, your bar from softball days is still there. Thought you would like to see it again. A friend of mine in Long Beach took it for you. There's a picture here of Nolan's in Long Beach on Park Avenue. Thanks for making my day every day from the TV, radio, and now my phone for the past 10-plus years. And she's a little in Herndon, Virginia. Lovely. From Andrew Vogel in Spokane, Washington. An update on the ad for a generic father posted by a group of fine fellows in my hometown. They've garnered hundreds of responses, according to the local paper. Prospective fathers as far away as Germany have sent in selfies with their resume attached, and a man in Montana offered to bring an entire cow worth of beef and five kegs of beer. But in a bizarre twist, the group has stated all these applicants are likely to be rejected, as they are only willing to have Bill Murray play their generic barbecuing dad. They're aiming high, and I fully expect Bill Murray to be barbecuing in Spokane on Father's Day weekend, because this is the kind of thing that Bill Murray actually responds to, which is true.
Yeah.
It is. Which is true. Stephen Halter, Dr. Satchmo, my lead and idol. The final concert in France by the City of Fairfax band was a great success. We played in the Jardin d'Acclamation in Paris. Apparently no littles made the scene, as I heard no shouts of La Cheeserie from the crowd. A wandering peacock shrieked a few times during the Stars and Stripes Forever, but that just added a little je ne sais quoi to the performance. Most of the band is heading back to Virginia, but my wife and I will spend a few more days and lots of money here in Paris. Keep on podding. From Mickey Halloran, who writes, if you would please send a happy birthday shout out to my youngest boy, Teddy Halloran, as today he turns 13. A few months ago, Nigel was kind enough to include my birthday email tribute to my son CJ on his 17th birthday, and Teddy has been counting down the days on he too until he too can hear his name mentioned from that funny loud guy mom listens to. He really loves your show, and he especially loves Chris's voice, who he says sounds exactly like the panda bear on the cartoon We Bear Bears. Yes, Chris, you really do. Thanks for always being entertaining and informative, and we look forward to having lunch at the restaurant next Tuesday on our trip up from Texas.
I've watched a bunch of We Bear Bears, by the way. It's a good show.
From Albert Chan in Aurora, Ontario. I couldn't help but chuckle when I heard Tori's joke on yesterday's podcast about how many country western songwriters does it take to change a light bulb. Here's one for Tori. What do you get when you play a country western song record backwards? Yes, I'm that old to remember vinyl. You get your dog back, you get your truck back, you get your girlfriend back.
Funny.
From Eric Antena in Austin, Texas. Just spent an amazing 2 weeks in Spain full of food, sun, and free-flowing wine, and the woman to whom I'm related by marriage was amazed at how quickly I adapted. I was almost immediately swarthy. I brought one of my Johnny O shirts, but did not activate my tweener once. In fact, my wife caught me deactivating more than I should have, but hey, when in Rome. And from Rich Morikow, I still have bad memories of my father pulling a tooth. He did not have a gentle touch. For those of you dads out there or moms who think it's great to yank your children's teeth out. It's a mistake. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Yeah, we're going to go down to Roseboro and have some of that fried chicken, hon. Yeah, but you can't get no Natty Bows there, man. Not in the state of Maryland. We can't get our beers with our chickens.
Sun's going down behind my back. My face when I get home. It's 10 more hours of highway tracks. Never more will I have to roam.
ounce of meth and you. Yeah, you. Somewhere in the stars, there's a life for you and I. A meth and you, and you. Come on, cook it up, boys. Ooh, that's hot. Just me, a ton of meth and...